This episode of Here Be Monsters contains lots of strong language, so if you're sensitive to that sort of thing, consider yourself warned.
So, like, basically, this is the send of the signal from the mixer.
Right.
This is the return, and in between that, we're going to put, like, a delay pedal so that the audio from speed is delaying and sounding spacey. Then this, we'll plug a bunch of dumb pedals in, and Sol's got a ring modulator into this to play out of this guy, because bass amps can take all the frequencies.
Okay, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. But I gotta call a guy really quick, because I forgot I told him I would, like, talk to him really quick, but I'll try to keep it to, like, 10 minutes max.
Okay, totally, man. Should I start setting this stuff up?
My name is Ryan Bites, and I'm the chairman of the World Speed Project, which seeks to obtain all available VHS copies of the hit 1994 action-adventure film Speed, starring Keanu Reeves, Sandra Bullock, Dennis Hopper, Joe Boyd, Jeff Daniels, and
a little while back, a guy I knew became famous overnight. Not, like, famous, but, like, 15 minutes of fame famous.
Ryan Bites.
Ryan Bites.
Ryan Bites.
Ryan Bites. Need for Speed.
Beats. Bites. Hey, Bites.
Ryan Bites.
Bites.
Became an internet sensation this week after an online article was published about his very interesting collection.
He created the World Speed Project with the intention of collecting every copy ever made.
He says he has more than 500 copies of the 1994 movie.
We have thought about shooting the copies into space. I have bathed in a bathtub full of them. We have set them up in dominoes. We have thought about trying to assassinate various leaders of corporations with them. There's the possibilities are endless.
In the past month, his one-man mission has been picked up by NPR, Good Morning America, and a Japanese reality TV company.
I'll die looking for speed.
Ryan really wasn't the person I grew up with who I thought would become famous. Generally speaking, he was the one in the principal's office for a good portion of each day, just for, like, breaking something or yelling or acting out.
People think of me as the crazy guy in high school who's probably, like, dead.
And so now it's, like, really strange to hear his name spoken by these overly perky announcers at the end of the nightly newscasts in those, like, little featurettes about, like, some cute dog on a skateboard or the release of a study that suggests that red wine is actually good for your colon. I get the impression that, like, those 3-minute featurettes aren't usually enough to unpack much of anything, and so while I don't know any skateboarding dogs or proctologists, I do know a pedantic asshole named Ryan Bites. And as uncomfortable as he usually makes me feel, I always learn something from him.
Yes.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about... The podcast about...
Yeah, no.
How are you most commonly misunderstood?
People are never misunderstanding me when they think I'm a pedantic asshole, you know, who, like, doesn't really know what he's talking about. That's never a misunderstanding. And I have to say that because if I, like, really believed I knew what I was talking about all the time, like, one, I probably wouldn't have the motivation to learn what I was talking about. And, like, if I really believed all my bullshit, I wouldn't constantly be trying.
Ryan and I are sitting in his treehouse 50 feet above the city of Moscow, Idaho. Every time I see Ryan, I try to understand his mind just a little bit, and I never make much progress. But also every time I see him, he looks different, and this most recent look that he's been going for, it seems like equal parts Kurt Cobain and Harry Potter. I ask him to describe what he's wearing.
Okay, so toe to head, at my feet, I've got a pair of... they're like shoes for cruise style shoes that you'd get at, like, Arby's or something. Just the grossest looking shoes, but I love them. I don't have any pants on. What I'm wearing under my jacket is gymnastic shorts. They're, like, perfect for my lifestyle, you know? Like, I'm not a never nude. Like, I'll get naked in front of anyone, but it's like I've got that there all the time, so I can get down to being basically naked without totally offending people. So I've got those on, and then I've got this weird navy blue colored, I don't know what you call, like, a navy crewman's coat, and it's really long, but it kind of looks like a dress. Right now I'm wearing two different down coats. I call it double down. Got a down coat underneath, and then I've got a down coat over because we're up in the tree fort and it's, like, kind of cold.
What's this thing?
Oh, I've got, like, a thing that says Huntworth on it. It's like a hat with, like, a baklava or whatever or balaclava, whichever one. And if I get too overwhelmed, you know, looking like a jackass in public, I can like put it on and I'll wear some like sorority girl sunglasses, some like big ones, you know, and people like won't know who I am and I don't have to worry about it as much, you know. How you're supposed to be behaving is like always plagued me because my parents were always telling me to behave. Everyone's always telling me to behave. But part of what feels right is to respond against the demand of the mood to behave a certain way. So it's totally like kind of like inauthentic and reactionary, but it's like been a part of my personality for so long that there's like kind of like no going back, you know?
And then we can do audio in left and right and then pump this through the effects loop. And then in the effects loop, I'll put in a delay pedal.
I've never seen like a physical brain mod.
So how often how often do you find yourself enraged?
Oh, when I skateboarded, like, I broke so many skateboards just by screaming and freaking out. A lot of people don't know this, but, like, in middle school, I was really worried about the way my hair looked because it was, like, super wavy, and I wanted it to be, like, more straight because my friends had, like, straight hair and it, like, looked better. And so I used to, like, sleep with this, like, fleece headband on after I, like, conditioned my hair so that it would, like, sit straight. And I would get, like, really, really mad and, like, start, like, crying and sometimes, like, smack myself on the head because, like, my hair just wouldn't be straight and I'd get so, like, mad about it and just so angry. I always say, like, my vision is, like, getting white, but it's not like I can't see. It's just, like, it's, like, vision becomes, like, unimportant for a second and you just, like, you almost want to, like, purse your lips and, like, you know, and you're just, like, that's it. Like, you can feel, like, the back of your head, like, kind of, like, sparkle. Okay, when I'm like super enraged, it's a really bizarre thing for me because like intellectually or like rationally, I know that like there's no reason to be mad because like it's kind of the thing that comes like from the Stoics. They had this big thing called apatheia, which, you know, is like our modern word for apathy. I think that's like the Latin, you know? And so their thing was like, you should never be so emotionally invested in something that it can like cause you like psychological pain because then all you're doing is impairing your reason. But then there's like what the French, like a French psychoanalyst Jacques Lacan calls jouissance. Oh, I guess you say jouissance or something like that, but I don't know how to speak French. Like when you learn how to do a math equation, that's jouissance. It's like painful, or at least for me, you know, it's like painful to learn how to do math, you know? Or when you sit and listen to me talk, you're experiencing like almost a mild degree of jouissance as long as I'm saying something that is new to you and hard to deal with and maybe even like causes pain for you, because there's always pain with jouissance, you know, like you're always experiencing some amount of pain because you're expanding your consciousness. All the emotions you could experience are like, they're part of the human experience and nothing's like out of bounds. So I don't think you should be happy. And like, I think feeling shitty a lot isn't necessarily a bad thing. Evil to me is something that destroys all possibilities, you know? But like, I guess I'm good in the sense that I'm like always trying to organize and create possibilities. As a little kid, we were listening to Bohemian Rhapsody in the car, and you know, it's like, Mama, I don't want to die. And I was like, am I gonna die? And my mom was like, yeah, well, everyone dies. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I like fucking freaked out, and I guess I was like bawling forever, and I was like, I can't die. Oh, what one does?
What one does, that's it.
You can even refer to it as like the what one does, like the what one does. A classroom is an example I often use, but like you know that there's like a way you're supposed to behave. Like you know what one does. When a class ends, you know that what one does is pick up their backpack, maybe converse with the teacher if they have business, or like leave, you know? Think about like having a girlfriend and like laying next to her and like knowing that she wants to have sex and you don't necessarily feel like it. The what one does something here is like, what one does is like one has like enjoyable, happy like sex or something.
What's the opposite of what one does?
I mean, the opposite of what one does is like disrupting the ideological narrative of the situation, which is the same thing as like a mood, you know? And you can disrupt that and you can do what's called like an encounter with the real. And that just means that you're bringing forth a possibility that was always like always there and could always happen, but wasn't necessarily going to happen. And so that's what I like always do. You know, you're walking in the store, someone sees you and you just kick something over. that's totally, like, possible because I did it. But, like, it's not something that you necessarily think about. And, like, but if you saw somebody kick something over and you're like, what the fuck? And then you're like, wait, I don't know why I give a shit. The only thing you can kind of do to a what one does is, like, do the opposite or try to invent new what one does is, you know, or, like, what one can do, you know? Because what one can do is always more than what, like, one will do or does do, you know? A lot of, like, weird prepositions here, you know? I just think it's important to, like, point out things that seem so normal and, like, they are just, like, by default a good thing to do or okay to do or totally permissible as being ridiculous, and then do things that seem ridiculous but aren't necessarily harmful to anyone and make those things seem just as legitimate.
What is the one thing you want people to take away from the World Speed Project?
That it's totally pointless. So I'll say it just like really straight up. The World Speed Project is useless.
This episode of Here Be Monsters was produced by myself, Jeff Entman, along with help from Bethany Denton, our story editor. Also, a big thanks to Seattle-based members of the Association of Independents in Radio who helped critique a preliminary draft of this episode. Ryan lives in Moscow, Idaho, where he runs the World Speed Project. He'll be going to grad school soon to get his master's degree in philosophy. In the meantime, though, if you have a copy of Speed or a couple bucks to spare for his Kickstarter, you should send it his way. His contact info is available on our website, where you can also find his absolutely amazing Kickstarter video. Check it out, hbmpodcast.com. Oh, also there's a photo gallery up right now with a bunch of shots from the treehouse and from Saul's basement and a picture of his van full of copies of Speed. All that at the website, hbmpodcast.com. The music on this episode was all made by Ryan and me in a basement. Ryan played drums, and I messed around with knobs on a really huge pedal board. We also had a VCR playing the movie Speed through a delay pedal, and it was really loud, and we were both wearing, like, these big shotgun-style earmuffs, and in no way am I exaggerating when I say that it was, like, super loud and weird and definitely the most fun I've had in months. And so, like, here's the thing, as well, like, I really don't feel like I understand Ryan still on an intellectual level. While we were in that basement just making terrible sounds come out of those giant half-stack amps, I felt like I caught just, like, a little glimmer of understanding, you know, like, a little moment of jouissance. Okay, last thing. If you like the show, please share it with your friends. Here Be Monsters is an indie podcast, and we spend just about $0 on advertising the show. So, for more people to hear it, we just really need good word-of-mouth recommendations, and seriously, it's the best thing you could ever do for the show. And after all, every time you tell someone to listen to Here Be Monsters, an angel gets its wings. All right. More episodes soon. Thanks for listening.